I've known Woody for, my goodness, 27 or 8 years, I think, something like that. Well, I'm trying to remember when I met you. Probably around 94, something like that. It seems like 94. 26 years. And heard him preach many times. And I've never heard him come to the behind the pulpit without a word from God. And I know he's got one tonight because this is our time. This is our decade. And I know God's got a word for us. So stand your feet with me. Let's welcome Reverend Woodson.
Yeah. Thank you very much. No. Well, let's just praise him for a second. Come on, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for manifesting your glory. Thank you for opening up our eyes so that we can see you, Lord. That, Lord, as we see you, thank you that we are changed. Thank you, God, that you're bringing us to a higher level in you. Thank you that your manifest presence is increasing in our lives on a regular basis. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you love Jesus, you can be seated. If not, stand up so I know who you are. That never works, you know that? I was praying about, you know, everyone prays about this year, and of course, 2020 vision. I mean, I knew that was going to come out. And it's a good word. I know with me, the Lord just said, what do you see? It was like in Jeremiah 1:11, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, Lord, when my eyes are closed, I see revival. When my eyes are open, I see revival. In fact, I had people saying I see revival on a regular basis for several years now. And he said, then that's your word. Because you can only do what you see. John 5:19, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So wherever your reality is, that's your word. Come on, does that make sense? See, it's one thing to believe in miracles. It's another thing to walk in the miraculous. You know, and honestly, I believe this is our year that we're going to see. And God says all the revival is my manifest presence. That's all it is. He said, when I show up, everything lives. When my manifest presence comes. And he said, when I'm lifted up, I draw all men. I draw all men. I draw all men. So he said, you know what you're going to see is wild praise, wild praise, wild praise, wild praise. Because if you lift up Jesus, there's a draw. And people will end up coming to church, don't even know why they're coming. Come on. You know, something exploded in me last year as I was watching my son's church as they planted 5 new campuses last year. And they have been exploding in revival. I mean, they've been in revival for about a year and a half now. They've been averaging about, you know, in the last year, they've averaged over 30 first-time decisions for Christ every week. And it is, I mean, God's not adding, he's multiplying. And, you know, I like studying where it's happening. So I the first thing I noticed is when I got to their campus 2 hours before the first service. The first service is at 7. And I got there at 5 a.m. and there were 700 young people praying. You know, what I noticed is there was a buzz in the atmosphere. Well, also notice is that, you know, honestly, at the first song, they were all in. It wasn't trying to prime a pump. Come on now. You know, and you know, it's amazing. Even the visitors, because of the draw, they found themselves caught up in something. Come on. Does this make sense? So I began to listen to how they talked in the foyer. I didn't really care what the guy was preaching as much. Because I want to hear what they're saying when they're outside, quote unquote, the place they're supposed to talk right. And I was listening, and they kept using this phrase. This is how they greet themselves at that church. We're all in. We're all in. I mean, literally, thousands of young people, we're all in. We're all in. And I found out the reason they could plant 5 churches last year is they're all in. The reason they're able to do what they're doing is they're all in. And the biggest problem in the church is most people are not all in. Come on now. They're kind of in. But if Jesus is Lord, you know what lordship means? You're all in. You're not your own. You belong to Him. Come on now. And I believe God's gained a bunch that's all in. You know, I'm ready to see us all in like never before. You know, see, what God has begun is always a sign of what to come. Because God who began a good work is not going to leave it where it's at. He's the beginner. He's the finisher. I'm confident of this very thing, that God who began a good work here is going to complete it. I'm also confident that there's been a shift in the Spirit that will bring the church out of survival mode into revival mode. And the Holy Spirit right now, even He right now, is hovering. Just waiting. Just waiting. Come on now. There's a change in the atmosphere. There's a fresh wind blowing. There's a fresh fire falling. And a flood coming that will change the world. When the enemy comes in, God answers with a flood. And last year, the enemy came in a lot of places. But now it's turning. God's about ready to flood the earth with the glory of God. He's the greatest counterpunchers of all time. Come on. The enemy hits you with his best blow, then God swings. And when God swings, it's normally a knockout blow. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we're going to see some things turn around this year. And you know what I found out is, you know, I study a lot about revival. I remember John Wesley, they asked him, how did he bring so many huge crowds and when no one else was drawing? And he said, I just set myself ablaze with God and everyone comes and watches me burn. See, you can't walk with God and not be on fire. You can't walk with God and be half-hearted. You can't walk with God and not, you can be religious. But you can't walk with the, He is a consuming fire. He's like fire shut up in your bones that you can't contain. You know, when we had revival break in our youth in Tulsa, Oklahoma, people asked me, said, what happened? I said, I just got them so full of God, they spilled out everywhere. They couldn't contain them. We didn't have program, we had presence. And I don't have any problems with programs that God's ordered because His presence will be all over them. But the bottom line is we didn't build it on programs. We build it on the manifest presence of God. Does this make sense? You know, and I believe, you know, there's no stagnation in the Spirit. None. In fact, God is trying to get the church to repent and return for times of refreshing, to get back to a place where we're building everything on the presence of God. You know, it's one thing to know the Word of God. It's another thing to know the God of the Word. It's one thing for you to have good notes in your notebook. It's another thing for when God writes a note on your heart. See, God doesn't want you just to have knowledge. He wants you to have revelation, and that comes through experience of Him. Come on. This is a season where the shift is coming on. See, the Spirit moved at creation. The Spirit moved on, and Jesus was born, moved on a virgin, so Jesus was born. The Spirit moved the church out of the upper room to reach the multitudes, and the Spirit moved the multitudes to come to Jesus. It's always by the Holy Ghost. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. But it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. So I'm caught in a tension between being satisfied and not being satisfied. I'm very satisfied with what Jesus has done in my life. I'm not satisfied, totally satisfied, because it's not, I know there's more. I'm not totally satisfied. There's something in me that cries out, deep calls into deep, and that is a deep that answers, God, there's more. God, I have to see the more because, I'm grateful for everything You showed me, but there's more. And I can't stay where I'm at. I've got to go deeper. See, most of the charismatic church world settled for tongues when God promised them power. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I pray in tongues probably more than you all, at least some of you. I don't know. We're not comparing. But if we do, I win. No, just kidding. But I pray in the Spirit a lot. I love the Holy Ghost. I love praying in the Spirit. But that's not the end. The end of the promise is power. And God does exceedingly abundantly beyond according to the power, not according to, you know, the outward expression of talking, but according to the power that's at work in you. Come on. And see, I've learned that I've been around charismatic churches that honestly, they are charismatic. They're tongue talkers, but they have no power at all. In Luke 4:1, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, went into the wilderness. But in Luke 4:14, it said, after being tested of the devil, he came back in the power of the Spirit. And that's when he said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He didn't preach until then. He didn't preach until the power. Come on. He didn't preach until the power. And so many people are trying to preach without the power. And be honest, if the Holy Ghost isn't on you, then you really have not much to say. I'm not saying that if the Holy Spirit's not in you, he's in every believer. But if you're not clothed with God, where people don't see your flesh, they're not going to see Jesus. They're going to see the preacher. Come on. Is this okay? Because there's a stirring on the inside of me that wants to get us out of complacency, back into the power of God. See, you know, I remember years ago, I was at Oral Roberts University. That was years ago. It was right around Thanksgiving week, and Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year. I mean, I'm not as big as I used to be. I used to go from cathedral to temple, but I'm more of a temple than a cathedral right now. You know, I visited with Josh today because I figured at least I could show up. If I looked the way I used to, I would send him a text. But no, Josh Miller, the bodybuilder. But I'm sitting there minding my own business, having a personal time. I love when God speaks to me, except for when he says something I don't like. Come on. Don't look at me that way. Oh, speak, Lord. Oh. What about something else, you know? I didn't ask for that word. Come on. That wasn't the word I was asking for. I mean, I was asking for you to give me this promise, and you said give. I mean, I was asking you how my needs were going to be met, and you said give. What's the next word? Come on. I felt like, you give. He said, yeah, I will. If you'll release what's in your hand, I'll release what's in my hand. Come on. When your flesh goes, huh? But, you know, I'm sitting there minding my own business, and God speaks to me and says, I don't want you to go home. My dad had already sent me a plane ticket. He said, I want you to stay on campus because I'm going to set you up with a tremendous blessing. And I actually knew it was the voice of God, but I didn't want to hear it. So I started thinking what scriptures I could use to get out of it. Don't look at me that way. You know, that's the religious mindset. Let me see what scripture I can do to justify my disobedience. You know? So I found one. It said, children, obey your parents. In Ephesians 6, and my dad sent me the ticket. And I believe that if you live under your parents' house, you have to obey them. But once you're out of their house, you have to honor them. You don't have to obey them once you're grown up. But if you're under the roof, you obey them. Well, I was under the roof still. So I called my dad up, hopefully, and I said, Dad, and I said, as quietly as I could, God spoke to me and said, he wants me to stay on campus. And I said a lot louder, but the Bible says, I need to honor my parents. I need to obey you. And Daddy, if you want me to come home, if you love me and want me to come home, if you really love me and want me to come home, I mean, I was thinking of all the pies we were going to eat, all the turkey we were going to have. I was just thinking, you know, because my family, you got to understand, most of us are little big people, like 5 foot by 5 foot. And, you know, I mean, there's a reason for that. I was thinking all the good food. And I just said that. I said, Bible says I need to obey you. So that has to be the will of God. And my father said, if God spoke to you, what's the question? He had to get spiritual right then. So I remember eating a Thanksgiving meal out of the can. I had these canned vegetables. I think it was a can of chili. That was really wrong. So wrong on so many levels. But the bottom line is the next day I'm so frustrated. I go to the aerobic center to pump iron because I'm angry almost. Because the only people left on campus were me and 9 foreign students. 9 foreign students and the 1 American. So I went to pump iron in the aerobic center, and in walks Oral Roberts. Now, you never saw Oral on campus because there are literally tunnels underneath every building on campus at Oral Roberts University, and they were built for Oral Roberts because there are so many threats against his life that they literally, he would never be walking on campus. He'd walk underground and surface in a building he was supposed to be in. Always had security around him. So here he is in the aerobic center at Oral Roberts University with no security. There's only 2 people. I mean, there are about 5 of us in the entire building. I'm pumping iron. He walks over to me. And he said, what's your name? I couldn't remember. I was so nervous. I said, well, he said, I used to be a stutterer too. So by that time I caught myself and actually said what my name was. And he looked at me. He said, what are you called to do? I said, well, I'm called to preach. He said, you mind if I share a couple of secrets with you? He said, you want to take a walk with me? And there's a walking track there. So for 30 minutes, I walked around the track, and Oral Roberts began to share how he prepped for meetings, how he could tell if there was a demon in the room, how, you know, basically what opposition you could expect. And my heart's burning. It's like I'm walking with Jesus himself. Come on now. And I keep thinking, what if I disobeyed God? I mean, very few people have had that type of access to the greatest general of his generation. And I'm thinking, man, you couldn't pay enough money for that. And at the very end, he looked at me right before he left, and he said, don't ever forget this. If you forget everything else, don't forget this. He said, Luke 24:49. He said, see to it that you don't leave Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. He said, see to it you that never, ever minister unless you can sense the Holy Ghost on you. He said, I did both ways. He said, when I'd go and preach the same sermon and pray the same prayers, and there'd be no miracles when the Holy Ghost wasn't on me. But when I sensed the Holy Spirit come on me, he said, I had the same results Jesus did. See, I believe Jesus, when he says, the works I do, you shall do also, and even greater works, that's the Holy Ghost on people. Come on now. They can't do that apart from the Holy Ghost. They just can't. It's the Holy Spirit clothing us with power. I don't know about you. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I come to you, not with enticing words of man's wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he said, I come to you in fear and trembling. I asked God, I said, God, and this is what the Lord told me. He said, you haven't been nervous enough lately. I said, what do you mean? He said, you know why the Apostle Paul said he came with fear and trembling? Because he knew if I didn't manifest myself, it was a failure. So there was a desperation. And yet so many times the church, including me at times, We rely on our flesh, even though it's word, it's still flesh. Come on. And he said, I don't want people's you know, faith to be in the wisdom of man. I want to be in the power of God. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he talked about, he said, I've heard about preachers. He said, I've heard about them, verse 19. He said, I've heard about them, and I've even heard about their words, but I'm not going to examine their words. I'm going to examine their power, for the kingdom of God's not a mere word. It's in power. When God shows up, he shows off. And God wants to show up big time. You know, I want you right in the middle of the river. You know, if I could, I'd throw you in. I can't throw you in because you have to be willing. If I could force the Holy Ghost on you, I would. Come on. But I found out something. There's a breed. It's a new day. Come on. And literally, we are carrying the next move of God. See, I believe that revival's not locked up in the heavens waiting for enough desperate cries and persistent prayers to pull it down. Revival's in you. Come on. The kingdom of God is in you. And the microphone's on me. No. but how do you understand the kingdom of God? You're carrying the next move of God. You got God on the inside of you. So it's not natural for us to act so naturally. I mean, God really wants us to release him to this generation. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I'm fed up with certain things right now. See, revival is not merely an event, a church service. I always laugh at when a church says, we're going to have a revival. No, you're going to have a meeting. If God shows up, it'll be a revival. If God doesn't show up, it was a meeting. You just called it revival. Come on. It's not an event. It's not a conference. It's not a special gathering. Revival's a fresh wind from heaven. Revival's a flood, an overwhelming presence. It is literally the fire of God falling on people, setting them ablaze with the glory of God. Revival is really an experience. It's experiencing Jesus. It's experiencing Jesus. That's what revival is. And that's what I want, every one of us. I want us to be hungry for a fresh experience with him. That God, I want you. I don't want anything else. I just want you. Revival is not simply a season of heightened spiritual activity. It's a massive outpouring. God pours out his spirit on all flesh and everything changes. Old men begin to dream. Young men begin to have visions. Our kids begin to prophesy. Come on now. When the Holy Ghost is moving, everything begins to move. Not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit of God. It's not a time of visitation, then back to business as normal. You know, literally, true revival causes transformation that changes everything and ends in reformation. And it's meant to redefine business as normal. No going back. No going back. See, I want a fresh move of God that takes us to a level we never have to return. We never have to go backwards. Where all of a sudden there's a new norm. A new norm. Where, you know, where the new norm is the height that we've obtained as we're stretching forth to the next new norm. Come on, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. I got a text a few years ago from this man. I had not seen him in over 20 years. It was actually not a text. It was a message on Facebook behind the scenes. And this is what he said, which got my attention. He said, you prophesied over my 7-year-old 20 years ago and you ruined his life. And I thought, oh, okay. Do I dare continue? So I did. And he explained, he said, when I tell you the prophecy, you probably remember it. He said, you called my son out of a congregation in Georgia. And he said, you begin to prophesy over him that you saw over 1 million souls in him. that he would literally preach the gospel on every continent in the world. And you said that he had such a strong soul when the anointing, and he said, the glory of God is all over my son. He began to break and to weep, and he said that day ruined him for everything else. See, the glory of God defines you. You really will never find who you are except for in the glory of God, because the glory of God defines you. It marks you. It's not just an idea. It's a presence. It actually marks your spirit, and you can't get away from that mark. And he sent me a video of his son preaching in front of 150,000 Pakistanians. And that day, 75,000 received Christ. And he said, you missed it, though. You said, you know, well, I did say over 1 million. He said, up to now, he's led over 3 million. But he was set apart a day in the presence of God. Just kind of Isaiah, you know, Isaiah, God's presence ruined him. At least it ruined the way he talked. He found out he was a man of unclean lips. It got moving when he heard God say, who can I send? And he said, here am I, send me. There's something. Somebody got their wings. Good job, Clarence. All right, I knew you could do it. It's a wonderful life. But anyway. I like that. That's it. Yeah, I'm going to have to incorporate that from now on. But the bottom line is in the presence of God. I remember years ago, and I tell the story a lot, but it still amazed me when my son was, again, around 7 years old. That must be a special age. And we were watching the video of starving kids in Africa. And he began to weep. I sensed the glory of God come on in the room. I could feel it. I mean, you could feel the thickness. But it just jumped all over him. He began to weep uncontrollably, and my son's not, you know, when you are very, very intellectual, you don't usually show emotions much. So when I saw him just being wrecked in the presence of God in a good way, he went back and he picked up his piggy bank, which was his life savings, and he walked back in. He said, Daddy, this is what I'm giving. What are you giving? And I realized that was an expensive night. But more than that, the moment he picked up the piggy bank, God spoke to him back as a 7-year-old and says, I've given you $1 billion. Hey, this way he said, now I can trust you. You imagine God speaking to a 7-year-old. Now I can trust you. I've given you $1 billion brain. And he said, you will build me an orphanage in every country in the world. And since then, you know, the rest is his story being told. And the first $1 billion idea came when he was 21. You know, now he deals with literally hundreds of billions of dollars in his position in terms of what they're producing. And, you know, he's actually asking God, please say trillion. Because the moment God's told me $1 billion brain, he never stopped saying it. He'd walk around, I got $1 billion brain. I got $1 billion brain. He'd walk in the mall, tell people, I got $1 billion brain. And, you know, they'd look at it, isn't that cute? But now everyone else says he's got $1 billion brain. But I don't know if he ever would have had it if he hadn't received it and spoken it. See, God wants to do something in the Holy Spirit. Come on now. He wants to not only impress something on you, he wants to change the way you see things. Change the way you see things. From the moment my son received that word, as far as he was concerned, he was dealing with billions. He never, it expanded his territory, expanded his reach. It blew away a box that people may have put over him. Come on now. See, revival at its very core is a demonstration of New Testament Christianity. And all it is God participating, allowing us to participate with him, doing what he does. I love Peter. Peter is my favorite disciple of all time. because I can relate to Peter, because in the same sentence, I can be brilliant and have revelation knowledge, and the next thing out of my mouth can be not so good. I understand that. Come on, don't look at me that way. I understand that. I understand Peter being a man of passion. You know something? John wouldn't have cut the dude's ear off. John would have tried to reason with him. He probably would have given him a hug. Somebody needs a hug. But Peter, come on now. You know, he heard it. He wasn't looking for the ear, baby. He just had bad aim. He took off the ear, but he was going for the head. You know that. And you see Peter, but you know, when Jesus came walking on the water in the middle of the storm, there were 12 people in the boat. 12 people. Here they are rowing, making no progress, and that's where the church is a lot of times. We are working as hard as we can, and we go nowhere. But Jesus is walking on the water. Peter sees him walking. The first thing that went through his mind is, I didn't know I could walk on the water. Because up until that point, everything Jesus did, Peter did. Jesus healed the sick, Peter healed the sick. Jesus raised the dead, sent out the disciples to raise the dead. So when he saw Jesus walk on the water, all he needed was permission. And he literally trapped Jesus. He said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come. What was Jesus going to say? Ain't me? Come on. So he said, come, but he didn't say, come, Peter. There were 12 disciples in the boat. He said, come. All 12 of them could have walked on the water at that moment. Only one was a water walker. Everyone else was a boat hugger. And most of the church world, we're boat huggers. You know, that's our security. Even if it's not working, we'd still hold on to something that's not working instead of get out where Jesus is. Come on now. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is on the water, so you better get out of your boat. Come on now. And in fact, your boat will be very uncomfortable if Jesus is on the water. Does this make sense? You need to understand that. True revival is without hype. It's without compromise. You don't even have to advertise it. It advertises itself. My son's church doesn't advertise. They got thousands. I mean, he said, we're not spending a nickel on advertising. Now, they do some things that are free on social media, but they don't spend money. He said, all this advertisement stuff don't work. He said, if God's in the house, they'll know it. The word will get out. You got to come. You got to come. You got to come and see this. You got to come and see this. Come on. When there's excitement, that's what I found out. When there's an excitement, obviously excitement breeds excitement. Fire breeds fire. Come on now. When all of a sudden it's like, whoo, let's see what God's going to do today. We wonder who's going to get saved. Who's going to get delivered. We wonder how God's going to do it today. We know he's going to do it, but how's he going to do it? We wonder when it's going to fall today. We wonder when this thing's just going to explode today. God, all we want is you. I'm going back to the place where, God, I just want you to show up and show off. God, I crave your presence. I hunger and I thirst for righteousness. See, I asked God, I said, God, what's a glorious church? He said, the only way the church will ever be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle is to be clothed in me. Which means when Jesus said Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, that means he's coming back for a church in revival. He's coming back for a church. That's literally what it means. He's coming back for a church that acts just like he does. Every wrinkle is covered. It doesn't mean they're not there. It's so no one can see it because the anointing is covering it. So all they can see is Jesus. Come on. Is this okay? I mean, begin to get this fire on the inside of me. See, revival involves a divine visitation of God's manifest presence that produces a sustained habitation of His glory, both within and upon His people. I believe the glory of God's going to be over us, and Isaiah 4 talks about that as a canopy. You can walk in the glory of God 24/7. You can walk in. Let me tell you how strong it can be. It was about 2 months ago, I was walking in the grocery store, walked by this lady. And I had been in the presence of God, but I was actually doing something, you know, just getting some food. I walked by the lady, she screams, "I'm healed." Just walked by her. And she's moving her hand. And she's crying. I said, "What's going on?" She said, "This hand was paralyzed. I can move my hand." I looked at her and said, "I didn't do it." First thing out of my mouth, "I didn't do it. I just carried it." Come on, "I didn't do it. I just carried it." See, you know something? It's not us that are really doing it. It's Him now on the inside that's doing it. But we're just carrying it. Come on now. What would happen if we would actually be the literal ark of God? Come on now. The place where the glory dwells. And literally everywhere the ark goes, people were blessed. Come on. What would happen if we carried God so strong that even when we didn't even try to, our face would shine, our body, everything about us. I mean, Moses put a veil over him so the people didn't get too scared. But God says, the last revival, I'm going to unveil it. And we're going to literally be shining lights in a perverted generation. And it's going to cause people that are trapped in sin to finally find a way. They'll be seeking us out to take me to the mountain of the Lord. Come on. Does this make sense? See, revival really is not God's best. It gets us back to God's best. Gets us back to the original intent. We have to get revived so that we literally can spread what God wants to spread in the thing. And, you know, God began to show me that He's going to use a lot of backslidden people to be at the forefront of what He's doing. People that have been backslidden, back on the side of the wilderness, people that kind of messed up. You already seen that happen, Kanye West. Grew up in church. People didn't know that. But, you know, when he came back, you know, just saw a Hillsong video with Justin Bieber leading worship. It's a whole new day. I started thinking, I love Peter because Peter is so many different people at one time. Remember, you know, when that, you know, it's funny because Jesus said, all the disciples, you're all going to fall away. But Peter was the only one that said, no, I'm not, you know, I know them. Yeah, of course they will, but not me, not me, not me. You know, yeah, hey, God, you know, you. Yeah, no, I know that the one that you love, I know he's going to be the first one to go. No, I never liked him because he kept bragging about how much you love him. No. I would have taken him out, but you wouldn't let me. No. But, you know, so, you know, Jesus approaches Peter and says, "Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat." And guess what, Peter? You're going to mess up. You're going to be stupid. You're going to do stupid. We all have done stupid before. And he said, you're going to deny me, Peter. He didn't even pray that he wouldn't deny him, because he already said he would. He just prayed in Luke 22 that his faith wouldn't fail. He said, your actions are going to fail. You're going to mess up. But when you return, strengthen the brethren. But when you return, he said, you're going to return because I'm praying. Not only are you going to return, but when you return, I'm not going to put you in the back. I'm going to put you in the forefront, and you're going to strengthen the brethren. I believe that that's how we pray for backslidden people. Because if they've ever had Christ in them, they still have a seed of faith in them. So I pray their faith will not fail. Their actions may be failing, but I pray their faith will not fail. And some of them that are on the backside are going to be in the forefront. And one of the reasons some of them are backslidden is they know they're going to be in the forefront. And they know the price of the forefront, and they don't want to pay the price yet.
Yeah.
Come on now. So they're like Jonah running.
Yeah.
Jonah didn't run because he didn't believe God. He ran because he believed God was going to actually save Nineveh, and he didn't want him to do it. Come on. You know? Some people, you know, it's actually their faith that's making them run. Because they actually believe. So they know on the inside of them that eventually they're going to have to give in. Is this okay? See, revival sounds every siren throughout the hallways of hell, serving notice to a defeated Satan that an activated, empowered, anointed body of Christ is returning to God's original blueprint, and that means the kingdom being manifest. That's what they do. I mean, literally, the devil knows his time is limited. And the moment we have revelation knowledge and we know that now we are the sons of God, whole earth is in travail till our DNA kicks in. Is this okay? And revival makes the Lord's Prayer and not a little cute little thing. Because it takes the limitations off when you say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It literally, when you're revived, you want heaven on earth. In fact, you make a demand that people get healed. You make a demand that people get delivered. And I don't know about you, there's something on the inside of me. For several years, I was so nice. I was really nice with the church. I was so nice, and I was trying to coax people, please, please, please come. I'm not that way anymore. There's something on the inside of me. Man, I'm just going to try to, I'll jerk you out if I can. Because I know. There's something in me now that I realize nice didn't work. Nice didn't work. Come on. You know, and that doesn't mean you don't walk in the fruit of the Spirit, but sometimes the Spirit of God, it's tough love. Come on. Because people's lives depend on it. Revival reminds Christ followers that the keys of the kingdom and authority is already to carry out everything's in their hands. See, we act like God holds the keys. We do. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. If you desire me, you ask me, I'll do it. If you honestly believe, I'm going to show up. See, the community of God's not waiting for revival. Revival's waiting for the community of God, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I was in prayer before the first of the year, as I always, you know, I'm always in prayer, but specifically seeking God. And I was kind of shocked. It's only been about 2 weeks ago. I heard an audible roar that shook me to my core. I mean, my wife could feel, you know, came into the room and I was shaking. And she said, "What happened?" I said, "The Lion of Judah just roared." And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, "The Lion of Judah is on the move." And then he mentioned something that my wife actually wrote a book on. Well, she wrote it on prayer, but it was, he said, "This is the revival roar. This is the revival roar." And he said, "You're entering into the roaring 20s. Revival roar. The roaring 20s. Come on. That thing hit me to the core. I thought, whoa. I said, God, this is different. And revival waits for an intercessory voice on earth that says amen to every promise God that heaven has already said yes to. Just waiting for us to get in agreement. I hear about God saying, just get on with it, get on with it. So what I found out is something you don't have to wait on. Revival, it comes suddenly, 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 suddenly. When you're hungry, it comes suddenly. I remember years ago, I've had the privilege of being part of three times where God invaded public high schools and shut them down. But the first one was the one that really surprised me the most because I had not had a history of that. And it was one I had started a Bible study in. And it was Booker T. Washington High School in Tulsa. And I got an All-American football player. He's the number one prospect in America born again. I think it was between 6'9", 6'7", or 6'9". He was big. And weighed about 340 pounds and could run. And was strong. And I got him born again, and he got radically saved at a Bible study. And, you know, we were having a pretty big Bible study anyway. Because, you know, when the whole football team was there, all the cheerleaders were there, all every boy in school was there because the cheerleaders were there. But he was walking through the hallway, and I get a call from the principal of high school, and I hear him weeping on the other side. I thought someone got shot. You could hear wailing. He said, "You need to get here now. You need to get here now." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Jesus just took over our school." And what happened is this young man was walking down the hallway, and there's three floors there. And he said, this burden came on me. I began to scream, "Jesus, save my school. Jesus, save my school." And he said, weeping began to break out on every single classroom in all three floors simultaneously. So they literally shut down the school for 3 days, and we had an assembly on explaining what God was doing in their midst. In a public high school, what would happen if we got the burden of the Lord? What would happen if the Spirit of God would come on us and we would actually be used? I wouldn't have picked him. I mean, you know, I had pastor's kids and all sorts of people that had been saved for years in my Bible study. I wouldn't have thought he would be the kid, but he was. That's who God chose. When the thing broke out in Pensacola, God used a teenage girl. In fact, she came trembling and forward because, you know, that church, it wasn't done. She came, I think I have a song that God's given me. And the moment she began to sing, the Spirit of God fell on that thing. And next thing you know, Pensacola revival. Every single service, they sang that one song. And the Spirit of God would just fall. Now, Steve Hill's wonderful. Kilpatrick was wonderful. But it was literally, I believe it was a 16-year-old girl that helped open the heavens. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The heavens have been open since the day of Pentecost. You need to understand that. The outpouring's been flowing. There's no such thing as a closed heaven. There's not. There's not. Not since Pentecost. I mean, literally, the veil's been... The only place there's a closed heaven is between your ears. Always people hear people talk about dry season. Literally, the outpouring began 2,000 years ago and never stopped. We just haven't positioned ourselves for it. Come on. It's never stopped. See, I really bothers me when people say, "Rend the heavens and come." No, 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 no. He lives in you. Now we're the, you know, There used to be the Ezekiel River would flow. And everywhere that river went, out of the temple, would literally everything would be healed. But now we are the Ezekiel River. Now we're carrying the Ezekiel River. Come on, we are actually Ezekiel 47. That's what we are. We are exactly Ezekiel 47. Out of our belly will flow the rivers that will cause whatever is going to be caused. Out of our belly, come on. So you don't have to cry out for anything other than I want you, God. God, get me in the overflow. Get me to the place where I can't contain it. I asked God, I said, God, and we're going to pray for you in a second, but I asked God, I said, God, why? Where's the revival? What's hindering it? He said, my people are asking me to do what I've already done and asking me to sin what I already sinned. They don't believe it's finished. And I believe that. Then I had to approach him, and this is what was a big one for me. I said, Lord, if it's already ours, is it wrong to ask for more? Well, how many of you understand? You can't get more God than you have, but you get more of a revelation of God. Come on. You know? You can't get, I mean, so what I'm saying is, you know, when I say, is it wrong to ask for more? He said, it's wrong to be like servants begging underneath the master's table. Because you're not servants, you're sons. But he said, as sons, he said, you know, you can sit at a table, and if the meal is really good, you know, it's appropriate to ask for a double portion. Can I have more? Can I have more? Can I have more? And see, what God's been waiting for is us to be hungry enough. He said, I've already given you a little bit. I've given you a little bit, but it's not the fullness. It's not the fullness. It's not the fullness of what I have for you. I have so much more for you, but only hunger can attain it. Will you give me a double portion, God? Will you give me... I always ask God to have the portion. When I was growing up in a family, if my brother didn't eat it immediately, it was mine. It was mine. I mean, if he was slow chewing, it was mine. I mean, it's just the way it was, man. You know, that's why he was skinny and I wasn't, you know, because it was all mine. And that's the way I feel like in the spirit. I said, God, if they don't want their portion, I want their portion. God, if they don't believe in this stuff, give it to me. I'll take their portion too. Because I'll use it. You know, the reason why my son asked God for trillions is not for himself. He said, Daddy, I have no problem asking for a lot, because I'm distributing. God gave me power to make wealth in order to establish the covenant. You know, there are thousands of kids that are fed because my son has the ability to make wealth. They'd be physically dead, and they'd be many of them spiritually dead. So he's fulfilling the call of God on his life, and part of it is he's always wanting more, but not for himself. And I found out that's the kingdom way. Kingdom way is, you know, you get more than enough so you can distribute. And I want to have more than enough presence of God. Come on now, where literally everywhere I go, it just comes out. I love to prophesy when I don't even know I'm prophesying. I love to be in a flow where I don't even know what's taking place. I just under the influence. Come on. I love that excitement when all of a sudden we see people come out of chair, wheelchairs and stuff like that, just because God showed up. I love being the vessel he can flow through. I believe what, you know, when God told me, he said, it's time, blow the lid off. There is no lid. Get rid of your box. Get rid of your box. See, all the box, you know, Usually when a person is in a box, they're being buried. Get rid of the box. We've had God at one level. He said, I'm going to blow this thing away. I'm going to show you things in the spirit. I'm going to show you you're heathen. I'm going to show you I'm going to do things in my glory. Where it will redefine you and bring you back to the original intent of the designer that designed you. Without the glory of God, we'll never, ever live the original purpose of what we were created to do. We won't. I don't want to be natural. I want to be supernatural. How long are we going to live as mere men? How many of you, you're hungry for this? How many of you say, man, God, bring it, bring it, bring it, bring it, bring God. I'm going to stay in your presence. I'm just going to stay in your presence. I'm going to stay in your presence. I'm going to praise you in the car. I'm going to praise you in my room. I'm going to wake up praising. I'm going to go to bed praising. You inhabit the praises, so I am honestly. Your praise will continually be on my lips. Come on. God, all I want is you. All I want is you. All I want is you. God, I tasted and I'm seeing, so I'm going to keep tasting because I like what I'm seeing. And God, I want you to open my eyes and show me things I can't see apart from your presence. God, when I get into your presence, I go into the secret place and you actually begin to whisper secrets in my ear that will unlock the wealth of God, and also will actually lock up the devil. They're secrets. See, we all want the keys, but do we want to go to the one who, I know we hold the keys, but do we want to go to him to show us which key to use? See, I believe that if you have a vision that's not birthed in intimacy with God, I question who the Father is. Because I don't know about you, I want presence like never before. I love the Word, but you know, I've watched people get full of the Word and not come to Christ. They've substituted. They thought it's enough. Well, we just teach the Bible. We don't want to get too wild. I'm praying for wildfire. Wildfire. You know what the wildfire means? It spreads. You know, my son lives in California. They've had a lot of wildfires. Wildfires are very hard to contain. They start taking over. Sounds like kingdom. You don't fit in, you take over. You just take more ground. And be honest, without wildfire, we can't take over anything. Because honestly, without the fire of God, we have nothing. Without the zeal of God, we have nothing. We're like the finest automobiles in the world with no fire in the ignition, so we're going nowhere. But when the fire gets in you, you can't help it. You can't help it. Yeah, it's fire shut up in your bones. You have to. And guess what? When you talk, it is a different authority level. And people sense the passion itself, and actually that draws them. Because they're convinced you're fully. I've known what I've seen. I want to get to the place where I just teach what I've seen and what I've heard. Not what I've read. Sometimes I open the book and read it, but then God opens my eyes and I see it. Once I see it, it's mine. When I read it, it doesn't make a difference. Truth in the Bible is the same way. The word that you've seen, well, God can watch over it to perform it. The other stuff, even though it's right, there's no performance yet because there's no revelation. Come on. How many of you want that fresh fire tonight? How many of you can say, I'm all in, I'm all in. And God, if I'm not all in, I want to be all in. I want to, God. You work in my work on my want to. I know, Lord, that I've been kind of playing, but now I'm all in. I'm all in. I don't care what you've been going, I'm all in. God, I don't care. I'm all in. God, I'm no longer going to play at this thing. I'm all in. I'm sold out. I'm not sold out to religion. I'm sold out to you. God, I want to carry your presence. I want to carry. If that's you, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you tonight because honestly, we get all in. See, when you know, some people are in the river to their ankles. Well, when you're in the ankles, you still can't see your fruitfulness. When you're in your knees, you can't see your fruitfulness. Well, when you're over your head, according to Ezekiel 47, when you go back to the bank, then you see the fruit trees. Then you see the fruitfulness. Come on now. I believe many of us, we haven't been deep enough to see our fruitfulness. And I believe deep is calling in the deep. Come on. And God said, I got more. I got more. He's not condemning you. He said he's bidding us to come, 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 come. And he wants to ignite you. Because honestly, you on fire is better than people that know a whole lot more than you do without fire. We started years ago, we had thousands born again. We knew nothing, nothing. We preached some of the stuff. I said, God, why did you show up? He said, because you wanted me. I didn't show up because of your head. I showed up because of your heart. And he said, now your head's renewed, but your heart needs to be refired. Come on. If you want prayer, I want you to come on up, if you dare. If you dare, because we're about ready to enter into a whole new zone this year. Whole new. How many of you want that new zone this year? Come on up if you want it. If you say, I'm going all in. I'm going all in. I mean, God, Jesus literally paid everything for me, so I'm going to give him everything back. So many people, you know, they received Christ, they got life insurance. But God said, I didn't want to just prepare you for heaven. I wanted to actually make you a someone that brings heaven to earth. Yeah, see. Well, I knew the other one was wings. I'm not sure about that one yet. I know they didn't shoot an angel. That's all, yeah, really. Lift up hands towards heaven. Father, thank you for your manifest presence. Thank you for your glory. Thank you, God, that you're going to download from heaven. And more than that, God, we're going to see you. We're going to see you in ways we've never seen you. And as we see you, we're going to see us in you. God, I'm asking your glory to come on everyone in this place. That you're manifest, there's the power of God right there. You must get excited, girl.